We are reading Psalm 4, beginning in verse 1, and we will be reading responsively. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods?
Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent.
Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord.
Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? That the light of your face shine on us.
Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound.
In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
The gospel reading for today is found in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. If you are able, would you please stand for the gospel reading? Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The scripture reading is from the pages of the Old Testament. And as we learned just in the reading a few moments ago, Christ explained himself, beginning with the law of Moses. And the book of Leviticus fits into the law of Moses. But our scripture reading in particular is Leviticus chapter 24. The reading of God's word begins at verse 10. Through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. It is read today in your presence. "Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and the Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilamai, the daughter of Dibri and Danit and the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, if anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death.' the entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born. When he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone, an animal, must make restitution, life for a life. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he is to be injured. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a man must be put to death. You are to have the same law for the alien and for the native born. I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the Israelites, and they took the blasphemer outside the camp and stoned him. The Israelites did as the Lord commanded Moses. May the Lord grant us some understanding of that reading of his holy and his inspired word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So the preparation for this sermon caused me to reflect on the sensitivity of my own conscience with respect to this matter. And I trust that the word of the Lord this morning will cause you to reflect on your conscience as it relates to your relationship with the Lord. Upon reflection, it seems to me that we have an easier time, somehow or other, failing to take seriously what the Scripture teaches on this matter. We tend to have an easier time failing to take seriously what the Scripture teaches on this matter than we do on almost any other matter that the Scripture teaches. There's so much of it, is there not, in the atmosphere? There's so much of it that more likely than not, we acquiesce to it, we put up with it, and we adjust our lives accordingly. That is a travesty, because when we consider that God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name, who blasphemes his name, it's all the more difficult to understand why we think that we and others can get away with it. The use of his name is a matter of profound concern to our Lord. The word of the Lord says to us, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." We don't often think of that, and I don't know your surnames, but a lot of your surnames sound quite different than surnames I grew up knowing. And if I were to call you names, you would be upset, would you not? If we call God's name in vain, all the more would he be upset when we misuse his name. But it seems, doesn't it, that this is one of those teachings that a person can actually break on a day-to-day basis without there being any consequence. Even though the Scripture says, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So, it's essential, I think, for us again this morning to steep ourselves, to immerse ourselves into biblical patterns of thinking so that we can appreciate why it is that God says the things that he does, particularly this commandment. So first of all, if we're going to misuse the name of the Lord, then we ought to know what his name is. That's not quite as simple a matter as you might think it is. The Scripture reads, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." But a generation ago, our fathers in the faith, they more than likely used a different translation of Holy Scripture. And more than likely you have it in your home, if it was your parents or your grandparents. It's the American Standard Version, the ASV. Well, when they read this verse, this is what they read. Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain. Jehovah, Lord, which is it? What can't you take the name in vain? In other words, if we are not going to misuse the name of the Lord our God, then surely we ought to know what is his name. It's not a trifling matter. If you have opened the door because some people have knocked on your door by the name of Jehovah's Witnesses, you know that it is for them a particular, very serious matter that you address them as Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you've spent any time with them at the door, you will find out that our continual use of the word Lord, not Jehovah, our continual use of the word Lord, now almost to the exclusion of the name Jehovah, is evidence that we are, in fact, living in apostasy, that we have abandoned the biblical faith. That's why they are called Jehovah's Witnesses. They are bearing witness to the true God, as they say, because they are using his name. Any other name would be blasphemous. They are bearing witness to the true God because that is his correct name. Well, now for the difference between the two, Jehovah and Lord. We are indebted to the ancient Israelites for this phenomena, to the Jews, that is, before the time of Christ. These fathers of ours, the ancient Israelites, they were fully aware of the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And they were far more sensitive to it than we are. So, in order not to misuse the name of the Lord, in order to keep the commandment, they came to the startling conclusion that they should not use the name at all. Either Jehovah or Lord or whatever. And if you don't use it, the rationale was, then you will never be guilty of misusing the name. Or so they thought. So, whenever they came across the sacred name, when they were reading Holy Scripture, whenever they came across the sacred name, Lord, in their reading, because the scripture was read orally and most people couldn't read, when the scripture was read orally, the reader would substitute a different name for the name that appeared in the sacred text. He wouldn't pronounce it. And through a process that I'd love to teach you about, but seeing as we're going to have egg bake in about half an hour, I don't want the bizarre ladies to fall out with me. So through a process that I'm not going to describe to you, the other name that was substituted for the name Lord came down to us as Jehovah. Now this name, Lord, because it was not actually spoken in the Jewish community for so many hundred years, because it was never pronounced orally, and so it was lost to the hearing of Israel, we don't even know how the name should be spoken today. We forgot. We have some consonants in Hebrew, if you look at the Hebrew language, that I don't expect you to do. But we have some consonants in Hebrew, but when the Hebrew was written, it didn't have any vowels. And when the name was substituted in the reading of the synagogue or the temple, it was not read how it was written, so it was lost to the hearing of the Jewish community. Well, as fascinating as that subject is, most scholars today, they look at the name of the Lord and they think that it sounded like Yahweh or Yahweh. They inserted the vowels themselves. And if you insert the vowels themselves between J, W, H, you put the vowels A and E in there, and it comes out as Yahweh. Well, I mention that only because in our reading today, depending on what Bible you have in front of you, you may have the word Yahweh, or you may have the word Lord. That is why. It is the Hebrew letters for the name of the Lord with some vowels inserted. So, to be sure, it was a serious mistake to change the sense of the commandment as these Israelites did, so that the commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God," came in effect to mean you shall not use the name of the Lord your God. So the Lord's name was never spoken in Israel. It's of no surprise they forgot it. That was a serious mistake. It's a serious mistake because the interesting thing is that the Lord himself never did forbid his people from using his name. As a matter of fact, he did forbid his people to use the name of the false gods in the land. Did you know that? That an Israelite was not permitted ever even to name the false gods that surrounded them by name. Exodus 23 is an example. The Lord says, "Do not invoke the name of other gods. Do not let them be heard upon your lips. You are never, never even so much as to use the name of a non-god in Israel. You are not to have other gods. You are not to worship idols. You are not even to name them." And that reminds us, does it not, of the third commandment. But there never was such a commandment with respect to the true and the living God. In fact, when we read the scripture in the pages of the Old Testament, exactly the opposite is the case. It just lets you see how we twist God's word. The Lord God told his people that they were to use his name. Listen, Deuteronomy. God's people are to take oaths in the name of the Lord their God. The next verse says, "The Lord is your presence." The book of Psalms shows us that in this case, the Lord is our praise. And to sing these God-appointed songs is to make abundant use of the name of the Lord. Psalm 96, "Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." I could go on. I think you could too. How can we ascribe glory to the Lord without calling upon the name of the Lord? So the book of Psalm teaches us how to use the name of the Lord in prayer, in praise, and in confession. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have truly come to know and understand and know that Jesus, the risen Jesus, is Lord, then how can we give him the praise that is due his holy name without using his name? How? Can you conceive of coming to Emmanuel on the Lord's Day morning and worshiping because we can't use his name? Wouldn't that just be ridiculous? So the liturgy in the Lutheran Church is full of the name of the Lord, and rightly so. How can we praise him if we do not know his name? So the confession in the New Testament is our confession. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. Shall we pray? Merciful God and Father in heaven, there is much in the scripture that we can learn and continue to learn. It seems that we never get to the end of what it is that we can learn from the Holy Scripture, but we are thankful that you have revealed yourself in the manner and in the way that you have. We pray that you would keep our tongues from blasphemy, but not only keep our tongues from blasphemy, that we would not bring the Lord's name into disrepute by the way that we behave, either in church or in society. Grant us your mercy, we pray, in these kinds of things. Amen. Amen. If you are able to stand,